Today's Shiur Masechet Zvachim Daf Samach Aleph. We will begin on Daf Samach on the base, 9 lines from the bottom. Kisolak Ravin. When Ravin went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Amar L'shmatzah Kamei Rav Yirmiyah. Repeated the halacha that we had learned from Abaya to Rav Yirmiyah. That Abaya taught us that a mizbeach, that when the mizbeach is damaged, one may not eat kachin. Amar, when Rabbi Yirmiyah heard this halacha, he said, "Amar Bavoy Tapshoy, the people from Babel are foolish. Emto the Yasvi Ba'ara Chashaycha, because they live in a dark land, Amri Shmatza the Machashcha. They say dark words. Their words aren't correct." The Ritva explains the Gemara in the following manner. He says that the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Dalet, quotes the pasuk in Iyos, the Mechashkim Hashivani K'mesei Olam. Says the Gemara there that refers to Talmud Bavli. That the Talmud Bavli is considered dark, is considered not as clear as the Talmud Yerushalmi. The goes the Ritva on to explain that really refers to different times in our history. Because as it was in the times of Abaya and Rava, the time that Al-Gamar is referring to, there were terrible gzeiros, there were terrible decrees against Klal Yisroel who were living in Bavel, and therefore they were not able to attain a high level of learning. It goes on the Ritva to explain that certainly, as the Gemara also says in the Masechta Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Vav, we may Rebbe Vegrav Ashi Lemetsunu Tar Vegdul B'Makom Echad, there was no place that there was a greater amount of learning than in Bavel. Says the Ritva, that refers to times where Klal Yisroel were able to live in Bavel in peace. And Klal Yisroel were able to live in Bavel in peace, indeed, at that time, the level of learning of Bavel was superior to the level of learning in Eretz Yisrael. But certainly at this point, Rav Yirmiyah is dissatisfied with what Abai is saying. Because have you not heard what we learned in the following brises? The brises said, "V'shas silk masaz." We know that when Klal Yisroel were in the Midbar, the Mishkan was dismantled and they would travel from one place to another. Says the brisa, when that would happen, kachim nasolim. All kachim that were available may not be eaten anymore. Machlokes rishonim as to why this is the halacha. Some rishonim say that's a special din, that the karbonis may only be eaten when the Beis Hamikdash, when the Mishkan is standing in its place. When the Mishkan is not standing in its place, the halacha is that kachim may not be eaten. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that when the Mishkan is not standing, so and it's completely dismantled, all areas are considered in the category of yotzei. We've learned many times as a concept that if something is outside of its permitted area, it may not be eaten. And when the Mishkan is dismantled, everything is considered in the category of yotzei. However, even though we've just said that obviously the regular status of the machnois aren't in place when the Mishkan is dismantled, still the halacha is Zovim Mitzrayim Shtalayim Chutz L'Mechitza. We know the halacha is that a Zov may not be in the Machna Shechina and the Machna Levia. A Mitzrayim may not be not only in the Machna Shechina and the Machna Levia, but even in the Machne Yisrael. And here the Gemara is teaching us that even though the Mishkan was dismantled, that halacha remains, that the Zav and the Mitzrayim had to remain separate from the people that they had to always be separated from. The Tanya Yidach, yet continues the Gemara, there's another Braisa. The other Braisa says, B'shnei Mekayim's Kachim Nechalim, there are two places that the Kachim may be eaten, meaning that at both when the Mishkan is standing, and when the Mishkan is dismantled, Kodesh may not be eaten. So how do we reconcile these two brises? My love, Habe Kodesh Kodesh. The first brise is teaching us that Kodesh Kodesh indeed may not be eaten when the Mishkan is dismantled. And the second brise is teaching us that they may be eaten, that's Kodesh Kodesh. And the second brise, the Habe Kodesh Kalim, may be eaten, which is clearly a question on the opinion of Abaya, that Abaya says that Kodesh Kalim may also not be eaten when the Mizbeach is not in place. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. Abaya based his, as we learned in the previous shurim, Abaya based his psak on the opinion of Rishmol. And Rishmol was a Tana. So Abaya could be following a different opinion, different than both of these brises, that will be holding that indeed Kodesh Kalim may also not be eaten when the Mizbeach is dismantled. Why is this such a why these two brises specifically a difficulty on Abaya? So the Rishonim respond, because of course we always want to limit machloikis to the best of our ability, and these brises do not necessarily represent a question on Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel only said his halacha regarding Bechor. It was Abaya who extended that it doesn't only refer to a Bechor, but it also refers to all Kodesh Kalim. But it could well be that Rabbi Shmuel for himself, his opinion can be inconsistent with these brises, because Bechor will be an exception to the rule. Furthermore, asked the Mefarshim, the question that our Gemara has is really, on Abaya, is really based on what it says in the second brisa. That the second brisa seems to indicate that Kodesh Kalim may be eaten even when the Mishkan is not, even when the Mizbeach is not in place, which is contrary to what Abaya said. Therefore, asked the Mefarshim, why did the Gemara have to quote the first brisa? The Gemara should have first quote just immediately gone to the second brisa, which is a question on Abaya. So, one teretz that I saw, that the reason the first brisa was quoted, that to show us the difference between Kodesh Kodesh and Kodesh Kalim, to show us that even the second brisa will agree that it's only Kodesh Kalim that may not be eaten, that may be eaten when the Mizbeach is not in place, but Kodesh, even the second brisa, and that will agree, will not be allowed to be eaten when the Mizbeach is not in its place. Another teretz that I saw is a very beautiful teretz. When we spoke in the previous year about the Mizbeach being damaged and therefore the kotcher may not be eaten, there was referring to a case where the Mizbeach was damaged. But our brises that we're learning are not speaking about a Mizbeach that's damaged. Our brises are speaking about a Mizbeach that's not in its place. And how do we know that a Mizbeach that's not in its place is to be treated the same way as a Mizbeach that's damaged? That we learn from the combination of the two brises. That since the first brise says that if the Mizbeach is not in its place, Kodesh Kodeshim may not be. So we see that when the Mizbeach is not in its place, it's to be treated like it's damaged. Therefore, we can continue learning the second brisa, because if otherwise, if we only had the first, second brisa, we would say there's a difference between a Mizbeach that's damaged versus a Mizbeach that's not in its place. But right now, we have a question. According to Abaya, Kodesh Kalim may not be eaten when the Mizbeach is damaged or not in its place. And this second brisa seems to indicate that they may be eaten when the Mizbeach is not in its place or damaged. Answers the Gemara Amar Ravina, Idi with Kodesh Kalim. Both brises refer to Kodesh Kalim. Kodesh Kodesh certainly may not be eaten. How do we understand these two brises? The light kasha, Ha Rabbi Shmuel. The first brisa is going to be reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and as Abaye understands the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, it's not just limited to Bechor, but it refers to all kachim, and that the halacha is that all kachim may not be eaten when the Mizbeach is not in its place. Ha, Rabbona. The second brice that says that Kachin Kalim may be eaten even when the Mizbeach is not in place is reflecting the opinion of the Rabbanim, who disagree with Reb Yishmael. Biba Yisema, another way of reconciling the brises, Hava Hava Kachin Kachin. Both brises are referring to Kachin Kachin. Or, as the Rechonim point out, according to Abaya, they both don't have to only be referring to the same teretz that the Gemara is giving now, that both brises could be referring to Kachi Kachin. That both brises could be referring to Kachi Kachin. And just there's a difference, as we're about to learn. Abaya, who treats Kachi Kalim the same way as the Rabbonim treat Kachi Kachin, will apply the teretz that the Gemara is now suggesting to Kachin Kalim. Hava Hava Kachi Kachin. But again, according to the Rabbonim, both brises refer to Kachi Kachin. And the first brise is teaching us that when the Mizbeach is not standing in its place, you may not eat Kachi Kachin. So what does the second brise mean when it says when the Mizbeach is not standing in its place, you may eat the Karbonis? Kodim Shiyam Deloyas Leviim is a Mishkan. Before the Leviim put off the Mishkan, Ulachash Pirke Leviim is a Mishkan. So the way Rashi and most Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. We know there was a whole system, there was a whole procedure in place when the Mishkan was dismantled and then erected. Who did what? And our Gemara is teaching us, our Gemara is saying that when the Mishkan was dismantled, first the Mishkan was dismantled and the Mizbeach was still in its place. And the first Brice is teaching us that once the Mizbeach is no longer in its place, then the halacha is that you cannot move the, you cannot eat the kachin. However, the second Brice is referring to a situation where the Mishkan is still in its place, and since the Mizbeach is still in its place, even though the Mishkan is no longer in its place, and that's when kachim may still be eaten. Actually, Rashi goes on to say that it seems from our Gemara, from a simple reading of the words of the Gemara, Rashi says, it seems that so too would be the halacha that when they erected the Mishkan after they came back, that the same halacha would apply. That if the Mizbeach was put up and the Mishkan wasn't put up, then the halacha would be that you're allowed to eat the kachim even though the Mishkan is not standing, as long as the Mizbeach is standing. However, Rashi says that that's an untenable position. The reason Rashi says that that's an untenable position is because the halacha is, says Rashi, that first they would put up, the Mishkan when they came back, and only afterwards they would put up the Mizbeach. So therefore Rashi says there was never a time that the Mishkan was, that the Mizbeach was put up before the Mishkan. Then Rashi goes on to say that perhaps the way to understand the Gemara is that indeed the proper sequence was first to put up the Mishkan and then the Mizbeach. But maybe what the Gemara means is that if they went out of sequence and they put up the Mizbeach before the Mishkan, the halacha would be that b'di'eved at that point they could eat the kabbalas. Also, very fundamental machloekas Rishonim in understanding this Gemara. When we say that as long as the Mizbeach is standing, the halacha is, one could bring, as long as the Mizbeach is standing, one could eat the, they could eat the kabbonis, the question that comes up is, what does that mean? Does it mean that as long as the Mizbeach is standing, but you don't need to have the kloyim, the kloyim that were around the Mishkan standing, or even as long as the kloyim were up, even as long, or you need to at least have the kloyim up to be able to eat the kabbonis. We're going to learn the Gemara, and it's pretty clear that that's pshat in the Gemara, that we're referring here to a situation that the kloyim were not up. And let's continue the Gemara. Ma'adatema, because we would assume that since the Mishkan is no longer standing, and as we just said, the kloyim are no longer standing, since the Mishkan and the Kaloyim are no longer standing, if Slobi Yotze, eating any carbon should be considered that it's a status of yotzi that we mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, that anything that's yotzi may not be eaten. Kamash malon, as long as the mizbeach is standing in its place, it's not considered yotzi. But ask the Rashba, that we learned, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, a Pesach oil moyed, that as long as the door of the mizbeach, of the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash are open, may kabbanis be brought. But once those doors aren't open, kabbanis can't be brought. So obviously, if we're referring here in Al Gemara, they asked, to a situation where the door, where the entire Mishkan is dismantled, if the entire Mishkan is dismantled, obviously the doors aren't able to be opened. So how would the halacha allow, as the Rashba, that you could bring kabbanis? Answers the Rashba. When is there a halacha that the door has to be opened in order that you should be allowed to bring kabbanis? That's only when there's a Mishkan standing. So the Torah teaches us that when the Mishkan is standing, kabbanis, or the Beis HaMikdash is standing, kabbanis can only be brought when the door is open. However, when there is no Mishkan or Mikdash standing, then the halacha is they can be brought. If the rule regarding the doors will not apply. Ask the Gemara, Vemachanami, maybe indeed, maybe if the Mishkan isn't standing, even though the Mizbeach is in its place, the Aloch ought to be that you should not be allowed to bring, to be allowed to eat kabbanis, or makro. To this answers the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'nosa oil moyed, apish nosa oil moyed. Even though the Mishkan is traveling, it still retains the Kedusha of the oil moyed. What does it mean that it still retains the Kedusha of the oil moyed? That as long as the Mizbeach is in its place, the halacha will be that you're allowed to eat the kabbanis. Says the Gemara. Amar Afun Amar Rav. Mizbeach shel shiloi shel avonim hayu. A word of introduction as we begin this sugya. Of course, as the Rishonim point out very emphatically, our sugya that we're about to learn is referring strictly to the Mizbeach Achim. And we also know that Klal Yisrael, in its travels through, in its history, had many different times where they had a Mikdash or Mishkan. Of course, the first Mishkan we had was the Mishkan that we, in the Midbar. Then when Klal Yisrael came to Yisrael, they came to Gilgal. And there was a Mishkan, which was really the same Mishkan that they essentially had in the Midbar, where it stood for 14 years, during the 14 years that Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael. During that time, they could bring kabbanis not only in the Mishkan, but they could bring kabbanis even on Bamos throughout Eretz Yisrael. Then came the time of Shiloh. The Mishkan was in Shiloh for 369 years. The structure of the Mishkan and Shiloh was certainly a lot more sturdy than it was previously. It was certainly a stone structure. The only thing was, it didn't have a solid roof, it had a cloth roof. During the time that the Mishkan was in Shiloh, they were not allowed to bring kabbanis on Bamos. After Eli HaKoyen died, the Mishkan was transferred to Noif, and then, when we know the story that Shaul decimated Noiv Ira Kahanim, the Mishkan was brought to Givon. The time of Noiv and Givon, that the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon, was a period of 37 years. And during that period, again, kabbanis could be brought on Bamos throughout Eretz Yisrael. And then, the final step was the Beis HaMikdash built in Yerushalayim, which certainly not only once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim were kabbanis not allowed to be brought on Bamos, but even after the Beis HaMikdash was unfortunately destroyed, the halacha remains that kabbanis cannot be brought on Bamos. There is no question, furthermore, in introducing our sugya, that the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built was a Mizbeach built out of wood coated by copper. There is no question, furthermore, says that the Mizbeach that was in the Beis HaMikdash was a stone mizdayak, not coated by copper. Now begins the Gemara. Omer Chuna Merav, mizbeach shel shiloi shel avon moyle. The mizbeach that was in shiloi was also mizbeach made out of avonim. The Tanya, as we learned in a brayser, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, ma tam loimer avonim 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 sholosh pomim. The Torah mentions in three different places the mizbeach avonim pasuli. Of another pasuk, of anisa sham mizbeach l'Hashem l'kecha mizbeach avonim. And then there's another pasuk, avonim shleimus tivne as mizbeach Hashem l'kecha. The Torah speaks no less than three times about a mizbeach avonim to teach us that achas of shiloi, the mizbeach in shiloi, bachas of noiv and givoyim, and mizbeach in noiv and givoyim, and the mizbeach in beis alamim and the beis hamikdash were all made out of stone. Why a noiv and givoyim, explained the Rishon Rashi, considered one period? Because, as we mentioned a few moments ago, both during the time that Klal Yisrael had the Mishkan in noiv and in givoyim, the halacha was that kabbonis can be brought on bamis. So the halacha views noiv and givoyim as one period because they had the same halacha during the time that the mizbeach was both in noiv and givoyim. Furthermore, why is the Beis HaMikdash called Beis Alamin versus Shiloi, for example? Explain the Rishonim that, as we said before, that after the Beis HaMikdash was built, the halacha was they could no longer ever bring kabbonis on bamas. And that's why it's called Beis Alamin. A permanent kedusha, the bama can never be used afterwards. Whereas, after Shiloi, as we just explained, when the Mishkan was anoint in Givon, they were allowed to bring kabbonis on bamas, and that's why it's not called Beis Olamim. That's why the pasuk says the words Tloi Basem Ela Menucha Vela Nachla. The Beis HaMikdash is called Menucha because, as we just explained, after the Beis HaMikdash was erected, they can never use a bama, whereas Shiloi is only considered a nachla because after Shiloi there was a period where they could bring kabbonis on bamas. Ask the Gemara, Maser v'achabarami, eishi yodim eshamayim b'mei Moshe. We know there's a fire that came down from heaven onto the mizbeach. So, machloik is exactly what happened. Some explain there was mamish a fire that came down, and others say that it wasn't actually a fire, it was just a coal that came down from heaven that burnt on the mizbeach. Furthermore, that fire remained on the mizbeach at all times, even when they travel. Just when they would travel, they would have a special cover on top of that fire to prevent it from burning everything that it came in contact with as they would travel. So says the Braisa, Eishi yodim in the Shemayim v'mei Moshe, the fire that came down on the mizbeach in the time of Moshe Benu, when the stakim and the mizbeach and the choishes did not leave El B'nei Shloimo, only when Shloimo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. They shiur the B'nei Shloimo, and the fire that came down in time of Shloimo Melech, lo yinstalik atchba Menashe v'silka. We know Menashe was the son of Chizkiyo, was a Rosh. The pasuk says, V'yas ha'ro b'enei Hashem. And he was the one that caused the fire to go away. Vim Isa. Now ask the Gemara, if Rav Huna is correct that in Shiloh there was a new Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built, we say, was a Mizbeach built out of wood. The Mizbeach that was in Shiloh, Rav Huna said, was a Mizbeach out of stone, Mikaru Distalik Lei. So when that new Mizbeach was erected in Shiloh, it wasn't the same Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can we say that fire that was on the Mizbeach of Shiloi is the same fire that was there for Moshe Rabbeinu? It was an entirely new Mizbeach. It was a stone Mizbeach. Although, I did see that there are Rishonim that suggest that, as we said earlier, there is no question the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built was a wood Mizbeach covered by copper. Furthermore, there is no question that the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built was a stolen Mizbeach. Now the Rishonim suggest that even though the Brice is teaching us that the Mizbeach that was in Shiloh was a stone Mizbeach, It was a stone mizbeach with a copper covering. The back to our Gemara. Here was say Rav Huna is saying that there was a new mizbeach built for Shiloh, a stone mizbeach. How could the Brisa say that the old fire of Moshe Rabbeinu was there from before? Answers the Gemara. Who damak Rav Nosson? Rav Huna agrees with Rav Nosson. The Tanya Rav Nosson, I'm in mizbeach shel Shiloh. He explains that the mizbeach that was used in Shiloh was not the same as the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was filled with earth. The Shiloh mizbeach was filled with stones. And therefore, he's going to have to hold that the fire left the mizbeach of Moshe because they had a new mizbeach. He, therefore, Rav Nosson disagrees with the Braisa that says that the same fire was there for Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is it's a machloikas tanoim. If the same mizbeach was in Shiloh or not, and the consequence of that machloikas is that the fire remained from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu or not. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that everybody could agree that there was a new mizbeach by Shiloh. Aye, if there was a new mizbeach by Shiloh, how do we understand what the Braisa, how do we understand the statement that the fire remained? Milo and the Stalka, and the Stalka of Atola. What it means is it didn't remain on the mizbeach, because there was a new mizbeach. But rather, it remained in use. What does it mean, it remained in use? What does that mean? Rabbana Am Meshvive Ham Meshadra. What it means is like this. They built indeed a new mizbeach, a stone mizbeach in Shiloh. But the old mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu remained in the Azara, and there would be sparks flying from the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu to the mizbeach, to the old mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, to the new mizbeach that was put up in Shiloh, that from that would be the fire on the new mizbeach. Rav Papa says, "Vespiza avinoka, v'zimn hocha v'zimn hocha." Sometimes it would be, there were two mizbeaches. Sometimes it was on the new mizbeach, and sometimes it was on the old mizbeach. And as the Achroyer point out, the two terutzim here actually represent a fundamental halachic of machloikis. Because the two opinions here really reflect a question, could there be more than two mizbeaches in the Azor at the same time? The second opinion, obviously, is of the opinion that you could have more than one mizbeach and the Azor. The first opinion, however, holds that there's a braisa that says that Moshe Rabbeinu says that Klal Yisrael, only have one God, we only have one Beis HaMikdash, and we only have one mizbeach. And therefore, that opinion holds that it wasn't that the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was in use. Of course the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was not in use, because we could only have one mizbeach in use. The only point, the only purpose of the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu served when the mizbeach, when Shiloh was standing, it was the source of the sparks which flew to the mizbeach on which the kabbanos were brought, and on that mizbeach was where all the avodah took place. Now, say the mefarshim, we explained earlier, we quoted the pasuk earlier, Kloy basem ela menucha velanachla. And we explained that Menucha refers to the Beis HaLomim, and Nachla, we said, refers to the Mishkan Shiloh. Why? Explaining Mepharshim, now we could understand it very well. Because the Beis HaMikdash, the fire was on the Mizbeach itself. That's Menucha. Whereas in Shiloh, the fire wasn't on the Mizbeach itself, but rather, as our Gemara is explaining, the fire flew from the Mizbeach on Moshe Rabbeinu to the Mizbeach that on which the Kabbanos were brought. That's why it's considered Nachla. It's traveling, the fire of the Mizbeach was traveling from one to the other. Gemara continues to discuss the Mizbeach Achitzin. Says the Gemara to Nar Hossam, there's a Mishnah Masech Tamidus. K'sha'ol B'nei Agoyla, when the B'nei Agoyla came up from Bavel to Yisrael in the time of Ezra, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, Hasif Allah Dalal Amos Min Adorim, the Dalal Amos Min Amarav Kmin Gamma. They added 4 amos on the Dharm side and 4 amos on the Marav side of the Mizbeah. It looked like a gamma. It looked like a L to increase the size of the Mizbeah, which, as the Rishonim explained, the Mizbeah originally had dimensions of 28 by 28 amos. Now, by adding these 4 amos to the Dharm side and to the Marav side, the Mizbeah size was 32 by 32. As Tysus, we learned previously that there was no Yisoy, there was no base on the sides of the Mizbeach, on the Dorim and Mizrach sides, specifically because the Mizbeach was supposed to be built, all the Avod the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be built specifically in the place of Binyamin, in the Chalik of Sheva Binyamin, and these areas protruded already into the area of Shevet Yehuda, and therefore those areas cannot have a base, because it would end up that the base that the Yisoid would be in the Chalik of Shevet Yehuda. As Tysus, from here we see that they did extend into the area of Shevet Yehuda on the Dorim side and the Marav side. How could that be? And because of that, Rebbeinu Tam has a different girsa in our Gemara, and he says it wasn't Dorim and Marav where they extended, it was actually Tsofon and Marav where they extended the Mizbeach, because the Dorim side, if they would extend, we would end up with having part of the Mizbeach in the Shevet Yehuda portion. But another terrace that Tysus suggests is that actually there was no problem in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. When the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was only, when the Mizbeach was only 28 by 28 amos in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, as we have been explaining, none of the Yisoid, even if they would have built a Yisoid on the Dharm side, on the south side of the Mizbeach, none of it would have gone into Shevet Yehuda's portion. The problem was, they knew that when they're going to eventually build the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, and they're going to have a larger Mizbeach, and we're soon going to begin learning in the Gemara why they needed a larger Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni versus the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. They knew that then, if they're going to put the Yisoid on that side, they'll end up doing a Voida in the Shir of Yehuda. So they already, in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, were concerned with that, and didn't put the Yisoid in a place where in Beis HaMikdash Sheni it would cause an issue. And the Rakechava, interestingly, in the Tzafnas Paneah, uses this concept of Tysus to discuss an interesting halachic question. The question the Rakechava discusses is as follows. There is a shul with seats in the shul, and people bought those seats. And of course, as we know, in every Beis HaKnesses and every Beis HaMedrash, there are seats that are more prestigious, the seats next to the Aron Kodesh. And now, as they enlarge the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, the seat where this person was sitting previously is not as close as it was to the Aron Kodesh as it was previously. The person who owns the seat claims that he still deserves a seat as close to the Aron Kodesh as he had previously. And the Gabbaim say, you bought this specific spot, and we're keeping you on that specific spot. The fact that this specific spot that you purchased is not as close to Aron Kodesh anymore shouldn't make a difference. What is the halacha? Says the Ragged Shabbat, it seems from our Gemara, he wants to say, that it isn't just the spot that you bought, it's the side that you bought. And that's why in our Gemara, Tysus is teaching us that the Dharm side represents an issue, that the Dharm side represents an issue, even though the Dharm side wasn't a problem in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. But it's still called Dharm, and Dharm is Dharm. Therefore, he says the same would be regarding this person. He bought a spot, he bought a seat that it should be in a choshva place, in a prestigious place, and that doesn't change under any circumstance. So again, says the Gemara, my Tama, why did they have to enlarge the Mizbeach by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Yashmish and Moise Sipik. it wasn't large enough. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaye, Hashta Mikdash Rishon, regarding the base of Mikdash Rishon, the Ksibay that the Prophet says, regarding that base of Mikdash, Yehud of Yisrael, Rabin Kachol HaShal Sasayam, Klai Yisrael were many, like the sand and the sea, Sapek, of Mikdash, of Bezbeich, of 28 Amos, by 28 Amos is big enough, Mikdash Sheni, so regarding the base of Mikdash Sheni, the Ksibay, Kol HaChol, Ke'echad Arba Ribua, that the entire community was only 42,360. Like Sapek, it's not big enough. Amalei, to which he responded, Hosam Eshel Shemayim Misayotam. In the base of Mikdash Rishon, they had the fire from Shemayim, and therefore it was able to quickly consume all of the Kabbonis, and therefore there was no backlog. Hocha, but in the base of Mikdash Sheni, Ein Eshel Shemayim Misayotam, they didn't have the fire from heaven, and therefore they had to use their own fire, which didn't work as effectively, and they needed a larger area. Continues the Gemara. She asked the Rav and Amr of Shimon Pazi, Meshuv HaKaparo, Sheetin HaSifu. Another difference between the base of Mikdash Rishon and the base of Mikdash Sheni was that in the base of Mikdash Sheni they put on the Mizbeach Shisa. We know that whenever somebody brings a carbon, they have to bring along with it Nischa Yayin. We discussed this previously. On Sukkot, they would bring Nischa Mayim, and they would have to pour them. Says the Gemara, that in the base of Mikdash Rishon, they would stand on the Mizbeach and have the Nischa Mayim and Nischa Yayin flow down the side of the Mizbeach. When, however, they rebuilt the Mizbeach by the base of Mikdash Sheni, they made holes actually on the Mizbeach itself, and through those holes they poured the Nischa Mayim and Nischa Yayin. Says the Gemara, what caused them to change? Says the Gemara, Mikara Sova, Mizbeach Adoma, Shuotim Ba'Adoma. Originally they felt that the Mizbeach had to be completely clothed with earth, so you couldn't pour them into the Mizbeach, because the entire Mizbeach itself had to be filled with earth. Lubsoif, but when they erected the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, Sovashti Kachila, they felt that the Mizbeach itself is where they have to pour the various liquids, the Nischa Yayin and Nischa Mayin. The Pasuk says, Mizbeach Adoma, which seems to mean that the Mizbeach should be completely filled with earth. So the Gemara, they understood that to mean, Shemechurv Adoma, it should be connected to the ground. That the Mizbeach, Shle Yivna Loya Gabi Kipim, it should not be built on top of arches, Loya Gabi Mechilas, nor on top of tunnels. And therefore, that building it with holes that would lead to the bottom, as Tosfos explained, would not disqualify the Mizbeach, because that was necessary for the functioning of the Mizbeach, that they should have these channels, they should have the shisin where to pour the Nischa Mayim and the Nischa Yayim. There's a machloikas ha'achroinim, how far this halacha of not building on top of Mechilas goes. Some explain, as it seems, that there's not going to be any tunnel below the Mizbeach. The Malbim, on the other hand, seems to learn, as long as the tunnel doesn't have its opening under the Mizbeach, it begins further away from the Mizbeach, then it would not be considered disqualified if they built the Mizbeach on top of tunnels. The obvious question that comes up as we learn this Gemara is the question that the Sfasemis discusses. Here, according to this Teretz, there was a fundamental disagreement on how to understand the Pasuk of Mizbeach Adoma. That in the first base of Mikdash, they understood it to mean that it should be completely filled with earth. The second base of Mikdash means that it should be connected to the earth. Does that mean, asked the Sfasemis, that the people who built the base of Mikdash Sheni felt that the way the base of Mikdash Rishon was erected would mean that the Mizbeach by the base of Mikdash Rishon was put up improperly? Answers the Sfasemis. Both Pshatim and the Pesukim are right. But the difference in the Pesukim, says the Sfasemis, actually represents the facts of that we've been learning made a difference. As we've been learning in our Gemara, says the Sfas Emes, in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, they had a strong fire. They had the Eish Shiorad Min HaShemayim. In the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they didn't have the Eish Shiorad Min HaShemayim. There was only a small fire that contributed in the burning of the Kabbonis, but it didn't really have the full effect. So he says very geschmack. In the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, where we had this warm fire burning, even if they just poured the liquids down the sides of the Mizbeach, given that the fire was so strong, it had the ability to consume the liquids that were on the side of the Mizbeach. Whereas in the second Beis HaMikdash, since they didn't have that strong fire, if they would pour the liquids down the sides of the Mizbeach, the fire that they had wouldn't be strong enough to consume those liquids. The only way that those liquids could properly be consumed is by putting the liquids directly on the Mizbeach itself. In fact, I also saw that the Michas Yitzchak explains, with this we could understand the Neis Chanukah. He says that we know that the fire that they used to burn, to light the menorah, was the fire that they took from the Mizbeach Hachitza, says the Michas Yitzchak. Given that our Gemara now taught us that the fire that was there by the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was a very weak fire, and that's indeed why our Gemara is teaching us that they had to make a larger Mizbeach. That's why the Sfas Emes is teaching us that they had to build the Shisin on the Mizbeach itself. So that fire did not have the ability to cause that if they lit oil with that fire, that oil should remain burning constantly, like the fire of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon had that ability. That's why the Nes Chanukah, that the oil did remain burning, that the candles did remain burning all days, represents a real Nes. That's part of what the Nes Chanukah is all about.